أما بعد. Today, inshallah, I'd like to discuss a very important topic known as tazkiyatun nafs. Tazkiyatun nafs, which is often translated as the purification of the soul. And before we start talking about the many different ways that we can achieve this tazkiyah, we need to first define the terms. Firstly, the verb zakah, yazku, zakatan, or zakatan, what it means, it actually has two definitions. One is to grow or increase, and the other is for something to be pure. And these two seem like opposites in a way, because when you increase on something, what you're doing is it's augmenting, it's growing, there's adding, more is being added to it. And on the other hand, when you're purifying something, you're removing, you're decreasing, you're reducing that thing. And the reason is, and subhanAllah, Arabic is a bit of a, quite a complex language. The reason is because both are transpiring at the same time. What that means is, when you're doing tazkiyah, you are on the one hand, spiritually developing yourself and increasing in the good of your spirituality, and at the same time, reducing and purifying and removing the evil elements from within your heart. Both are considered at the same time. Both are happening in this process of tazkiyah. And that's important to remember because it's very hard to translate that at once. I mean, you could say the spiritual development and purification. You could, but that's a long definition. So it's easier to just say tazkiyah to imply both the spiritual growth and development as well as the removal of the harmful effects upon your heart. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. What is the importance of this tazkiyah? Well, we could look at it from a dunyawi perspective and from the perspective of the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what? أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ. Is the one whose chest has been expanded for Islam, and he is upon the light of his Lord. Is this person in anywhere near, like the one who is not? And this is a very powerful question. Because it's basically saying that we all recognize that from an external perspective, if there is somebody who focuses on their body, who eats healthy, exercises, sleeps at the right time, consults professionals, going to the doctor, getting checkups, etc., and stretches, and sits with good posture, and so on and so forth. This person, if you take that person and put them on one side of the spectrum, and then take somebody else who doesn't sit properly, bad posture, right? Eats unhealthy food, junk food all the time, never gets checked up, never gets any sort of consultation, doesn't sleep at proper times, and never exercises. Such a person would be on such an opposite end of the spectrum. At no point and in no way would you consider these two equal. You'd be able to look at them, you'd get to know them, and you would find, subhanAllah, these people are worlds apart. So if that is the case with the external body, then Allah is asking the question and saying, how can you not realize that that is also the case when it comes to your spiritual dimensions? When it comes to the inner workings of the heart, there are going to be those who focus on their heart, who try to remove the evil elements and increase the good elements. And such people will be worlds apart than the one who focuses on it not at all. And in fact, then the ayah continues and Allah says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Then woe to those whose hearts are hardened against and from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Woe to those people. Because they are on the opposite end of the spectrum than those whose chests have been expanded and who live by the light of Allah in their hearts. أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Those people who have the hard hearts, they are indeed in clear and obvious misguidance. Now when it comes to the next life, it becomes even more obvious. Because all of the things that we consider success from a materialistic perspective don't matter in the next life. Allah says what? يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهِ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Allah says, whatever you have will not benefit you, whether it be your children, whether it be your wealth. These things will not benefit you on Judgment Day. The only person that will have a benefit on Judgment Day is the one who comes to Allah with what? With a sound heart. Qalbin Salim. This is the only thing that's going to save you on Judgment Day. What does it mean to have a sound heart? A sound heart implies what? That it is free from shirk. It is liberated from the darkness within us. It is liberated from the attachments that are not attachments for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It only has within it Allah, Allah's remembrance, and attachment to things for Allah's sake. That is a qalbin salim. And this is opposed to a sick heart, or a hard heart, or even a dead heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from these dangerous states of the heart. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Before we get to the topic, of how we can develop this tazkiyah within ourselves, another point should be mentioned, which is, who is tazkiyah attributed to? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us and tells us, never be like those people who say to themselves, I'm done, I'm purified, I've worked on myself, I'm such a spiritually enlightened person. Don't be that person. Allah says what? فَلَا تُزَكُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Allah says, never attribute purity to yourself. Why? Allah knows who has the most taqwa. So therefore the question is, who is it attributed to? First and foremost, number one, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah created us, Allah sent us guidance, and Allah says, بَلِ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah says, Allah is the one who purifies and gives tazkiyah and spiritual growth to whoever He wills. And Allah says also in Surah An-Nur, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That it is Allah who gives tazkiyah to whom He wills. And then after that, because Allah sent guidance to the Prophet ﷺ, it is a tribute to the Prophet ﷺ. When Allah says, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ. That tuzakihim biha. Allah says what? Take, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, take from them their wealth as charity. As in, make sure you get from them their charitable money. You take zakah from them. Why? To purify them and to spiritually, so that you can spiritually develop them. So what we understand is that number one, it is attributed to Allah because He created us and sent us guidance. Then because that guidance was sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and delivered through him, we can attribute to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then every single generation after that, that passed on that guidance until finally it reaches us. And then we have to work on ourselves. As Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Indeed, certainly the person is successful who has purified himself. Or Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. He is purified, the one who, he is successful, the one who purifies it, as in his nafs. So in other words, yes, you work on yourself spiritually, but recognize that it's a team effort. It is a gift from Allah that has been passed through guidance, through the messengers, and then through the righteous people, and then finally it reaches you, and then you work on yourself, and then even if you feel that you are developing spirituality, you never claim it to yourself. Why? Because it's not a goal, it's a pursuit. It's not a goal, it's a pursuit. What do I mean by that? You run after and you chase after this tazkiyah, but you never think that you have got it. Hey, I'm done. I landed on tazkiyah. I have removed my evil and I'm nothing but pure. You don't think like that. You constantly work on it and you constantly get closer, but it's never done. As long as you're alive, you're still working on yourself, and that is the attitude of the believer. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So that is how we balance our view as to who it comes from. And then of course, the big question, how can we achieve this tazkiyah? What are the steps to develop this spiritual growth and purification? If it is indeed the greatest qualifier in this dunya that will differentiate you from those who are rotten, if it is the thing that will give you salvation on Judgment Day as opposed to the thing that will cause you harm and punishment on Judgment Day, I want to have it. We should all be very eager to know what are the steps. Number one, I submit to you, and all of the points that I'm going to mention are from the Quran and authentic sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Number one, recognizing the oneness of Allah. Accepting the truth that Allah is one. The most obvious. And where do we get this from? We get this from Surah Naziat, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands His messenger Musa alayhi salam, اِذْهَبْ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَى. That go to Fir'aun, because he has transgressed all bounds. This is a man who has been given so much of this dunya, and all he can think of doing is transgressing one boundary and another. Why? In the pursuit of joy and pleasure and happiness. He's hoping that maybe one day, I'll pass a certain bound. I'll do something that I've never done before, and that's that one thing that's going to give me happiness. And guess what? He keeps trying and keeps trying and keeps on feeling more and more empty. And Allah knows the state of his heart. Allah knows that and says, you Musa alayhi salam, you have to go to him. And you have to go to him because he has transgressed every bound. And you have to say to him, what? فَقُلْ. Go say these words. هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ تَزَكَّى. Would you like to try to purify yourself? Would you like spiritual development? Would you like to try this concept of tazkiyah? Maybe this is something new that you haven't tried before. Subhanallah, look at the beautiful words that Musa alayhi salam is sent with to go and present in front of Fir'aun, the worst of the worst, subhanallah. So number one, and what does this imply? This implies that Fir'aun was upon shirk, perhaps worshipping the sun god, perhaps worshipping some other deities, worshipping even himself, claiming himself to be a god, and so on and so forth. All these false beliefs. And Allah is saying you need to purify yourself by what? Accepting that Allah is one. So that's number one. That's point number one. Point number two. How do we achieve this tazkiyah, tazkiyatun nafs, this spiritual development and purification? Through a regular diet of ilm. By steadily and consistently exposing ourselves and learning more and more knowledge. Primarily the knowledge of the Qur'an and then every other type of knowledge that stems from it, inshallah ta'ala. What is the evidence for this? The evidences are many. For one, you find that four times in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts right next to each other this concept of tazkiyah and this concept of learning the Qur'an. For instance, Allah says that هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. In Surah Jum'ah, Allah says what? That the Messenger ﷺ, just paraphrasing, the Messenger ﷺ was sent with what? The ability to recite the ayat amongst the people and to وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, to purify them, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ, and to teach them the Qur'an. Teach them this book. So teaching of the book is right next to what? A tazkiyah. And this happens twice in Surah Baqarah with slight variation in the wording, but still the same, the concepts are still there. Twice in Surah Baqarah, once in Ali Imran, and once in Surah Jum'ah. Four times, this over and over, you're finding what? Tazkiyah being associated with learning the Qur'an. If that's not enough, then subhanAllah, Allah says what? Allah describes the Qur'an itself in Surah Yunus as the cure for that which is in the heart. Allah says that the Qur'an is shifa'un lima fis sudur. It is a cure for that which is in the chest. If you want spiritual growth, if you want to remove the negative elements, all the diseases of the heart, amradul qulub, if you want to get rid of them, develop a relationship with the cure itself, which is the Qur'an. Allahu Akbar. And furthermore, Allah says, أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ أنا الليل ساجدا وقائما يحذر الآخرة ويرجو رحمة ربه. Is the one who is devoutly obedient during the periods of the night, prostrating, standing, fearing the hereafter, and hoping in the mercy of his Lord, like the one who doesn't do this? So Allah is painting a very highly spiritual image here, and showing us, is the one who is so highly spiritual, has such spiritual development and purity, praying all night, having so much hope in Allah and fear in Judgment Day, is this person similar to one who doesn't practice like this? And then Allah gives us a very incredible statement. Allah says what? قُلْ, say these words, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Is the one who knows and the one who doesn't know, are they equal? Is it possible? Now this is a fascinating ayah. Why? Because Allah is attributing all of this spirituality, standing in the night, praying, having a sincere heart, Allah is attributing that to knowledge. And what does this mean? It means that true knowledge is not data or information. True knowledge is not just to memorize facts and figures. Otherwise, you could say any book is very knowledgeable, but a book is not knowledgeable. It just has ink on it. It's not affected by it. It doesn't transform. There's no transformative effect because of the information on it. So in that same way, yes, a book has data, but it doesn't have knowledge. It's a different concept. Knowledge is when you learn something that actually benefits you, that has a transformative effect, that has an effect on your habits and your personality. And Allah is saying, how can you put in the same category the one who has knowledge, and therefore because of that true knowledge, prays at night, and is so spiritual, and is so sincere and devoted to Allah, how can you compare that one to the person who has no knowledge? So this ayah is clearly delineating and teaching us a very valuable lesson. You want spirituality, you want to have tazkiyatun nafs, you want to increase yourself as a spiritual being and remove those evil elements, learn your deen, study your Qur'an, study your Islam, become a knowledgeable brother and sister inshaAllah ta'ala. Point number one was tawheed. Point number two, a regular diet of knowledge. Point number three was what? Is what? Keep good company. Spend time with good people. Why? We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى. Again, this concept of yatazakka or tazkiyah. What happened? We know that this is describing an incident where the Prophet ﷺ was giving da'wah to a disbeliever who couldn't care less about Islam. But the Prophet ﷺ was so sincere and trying so hard to bring him to Islam, because the Prophet ﷺ knew that not only would this person benefit, but because he was a leader, others would benefit from his conversion as well. And then Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came and interrupted the conversation because he was so eager to ask questions and be around the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ frowned and turned. Now no offense was given because the man is blind. He couldn't see the frown. He couldn't see the turning. And furthermore, he was interrupting. Even though he can't see, he can hear. And yet, even despite all that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he holds his Prophet ﷺ to such a high degree, Allah called him out and said, I don't like this behavior. I don't want to see my messenger pouring his heart out to someone who doesn't care. Meanwhile, someone who's blind, who it's difficult for that person to make the journey, I mean, you know, you have to get up and go around. You could stumble. You could hurt yourself. You have to ask, do you know where the Prophet is? And then he has to try to make his way and find him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is clearly showing sincerity and dedication. And subhanAllah, so he makes his way and he finally gets to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah recognizes that he is so sincere that Allah says, perhaps you can't perceive and understand that what does he want? He just wants to purify himself. So this one shows, again like the previous point, that he wanted knowledge. But at the same time it shows that purification of the heart comes from what? From good company. And that's exactly what he was seeking after. May Allah make us of those who have tawheed in our heart, have a regular diet of knowledge, and who keep good company. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Point number four is charity. And this should be the most obvious. Why? Because the word zakah implies what? 2.5% of your excess wealth on an annual basis, if you are above the nisab level. And it comes from the concept of what? Both purification and spiritual growth. And why is that the case? Because, for one reason, Allah says, أَلَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. Allah mentions that the one who gives his wealth is purifying himself and is augmenting himself. What is being augmented? His ajr. Because when he gives in charity, you have no idea that money's going to benefit one person, and that's going to have a domino effect and benefit another and another, and Allah is going to multiply, as Allah talks about in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 261, that he can take your charity and multiply it many, many fold over and turn into something so huge that only on Judgment Day you can see all the residual effects from that one charity that you gave, from that one chunk of charity or amount of wealth that you gave. So that's one way that it increases. And how does it remove? It removes your materialism. It removes your covetousness. It removes your greed from your heart. Why? Because when you reach into that pocket and you lift out that money, it feels so heavy. It's not physically heavy, but it feels so heavy. Why? Because you know you love that money. And you know you worked hard for that money. But the moment you can actually let go of it, that is a spiritual process. That is something that is developing your spirituality and stepping on that greed and stepping on your materialism. Because as much as I want and love this money, I love Allah more. And I'd love to have a purified heart even more. And I'd love to crush my materialism even more. And my greed even more. So I'm going to give it away. And that is an incredible process. And that's why Allah says, أَلَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَزَكَّى. The one who gives his wealth, he is purifying himself. Point number five is what? Protecting of your eyes. Be very careful what you look at. And subhanAllah, this is very difficult, especially when the weather is hot and all the clothes come off. And subhanAllah, I don't understand the amount of teasing and the amount of, you know, offering and not giving. You know, you wouldn't even treat an animal this way. So I know I've said this before, subhanAllah, you wouldn't treat an animal that way. Where, you know, if you saw your neighbor was showing a piece of meat to his dog and the dog was salivating, you want it, can't have it, want it, can't have it, you'd say, subhanAllah, this is abuse. You'd call up animal services and say, this is wrong, you can't do this. And yet, subhanAllah, every single day we're being teased to no end, and nobody thinks that, oh, what possible negative consequences can come from this? Are you kidding me? Come on. You don't need to be a genius or a social scientist or a psychologist to know that this is going to have a negative effect on a human being. Either they're going to go numb or they are going to be extremely frustrated and angry. Either way, it's not healthy. So subhanAllah, I don't understand. I really do believe in generations from today, people will look back on this generation and say, were these people crazy? That much teasing? And you didn't think anything negative was going to produce from it? SubhanAllah, you people are insane. But anyway, wallahu alam, I digress. Allah says what? قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبَصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. Allah says what? Tell the believing men to reduce some of their vision, as in don't look at everything that comes in front of you, and guard your private parts. Why these two together? Because it starts with a look and it ends up with zina. So the idea is protect the look. Why? Because we know that after a look comes the conversation, exchange of numbers, just a little coffee, and then da-da-da, et cetera, et cetera. And then one thing leads to another. So Allah says protect your gaze, protect your private parts, and then what? Allah says, ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. That is more pure, and that is better for your spiritual growth for them. Inshallah ta'ala, I'll continue in the second khutbah. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم سلم كثيرا. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. Point number 6 and 7 as to how we can achieve some sort of a tazkiyah, spiritual growth, has to do with the mouth. Both what goes out and what comes in. We should be very careful what type of food goes into our mouths. It should be pure, as Allah mentions about the Ashabul Kahf, the companions of the cave. The moment they woke up after their extremely long miraculous sleep, they woke up and said, فَبَعَثُوا أَحَدَكُمْ بِوَرِقِكُمْ هَذِهِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا. They said, we're going to send one of you. One of you should go into the city with some wealth, and you should go purchase and get أَزْكَى طَعَامًا, the purest of food. And this is implicit. This implies what? That our bodies are made of what we eat. That's what becomes our bodies. Whatever you put into your body, that's what becomes your physical flesh. And so if you put in haram, whether because you earn haram money or because you buy haram food, either way, once you consume that haram food, it becomes part of your body, and now that flesh is destined for the fire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So instead, what we need to do is consume that which is pure, so our bodies are made of the flesh, that which is pure, inshallah ta'ala, is destined for paradise. Ameen ya rabbil alameen. And the second point about what comes out of the mouth, the Prophet ﷺ says in an authentic hadith from Tirmidhi, it's a Hasan hadith, لَا تُكْثِرُ الْكَلَامِ. Don't talk too much. Somebody might hear that and say, brother, you're talking a lot right now. So let's complete the hadith. لَا تُكْثِرُ الْكَلَامِ بِغَيْرِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Don't talk so much without the remembrance of Allah. It's not bad to sit with your friends and have long conversations. But if it's all joking, for hours of just shooting the breeze, as they say, then subhanAllah, this is a problem. Why? Because at some point, you have to remember your purpose. At some point, you need to remember Allah. You have to mention an ayah of the Qur'an, a hadith. Try to make it a beneficial gathering. فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الْكَلَامِ بِغَيْرِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ قَصْوَةٌ لِلْقَلْبِ. Because lots of speech without the remembrance of Allah hardens the heart. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, وَإِنَّ أَبْعَدَ النَّاسِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْقَلْبَ الْقَاسِ. And indeed, the person who is the furthest from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has a hard heart. May Allah protect us. Number 8, we should take the diseases of the heart very seriously. Pay attention to your heart and how it feels. And we should know what the disease of the heart, and inshallah, I'll list many, inshallah, in a moment. But we have to be cognizant, and we have to pay attention when we have those feelings in our heart, what increases those negative feelings and what decreases it. What increases our spirituality and what decreases it. We need to pay attention to those, put ourselves in environments that will spiritually augment us, and stay away from environments that will reduce us. The Prophet ﷺ was once asked, أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَفْضَلُ. Who is the best of people? The Prophet ﷺ responds, كُلُّ مَخْمُومِ الْقَلْبِ صَدُوقُ اللِّسَانِ. Every person who has a soft heart and a truthful tongue. قالوا, they asked, صدوق اللسان نعرفه. We know what it means to be truthful tongue. It's obvious, don't lie. That's very clear. But what does it mean? فما مخموم القلب. What does it mean to have a soft heart? I mean, from a practical perspective, it's conceptually, I sort of get the idea of a soft heart, but give me some practical steps how to achieve this soft heart. It's a very conceptual idea, so how can we make it concrete? The Prophet ﷺ says, Huwa, the one who has a soft heart is At-taqi, an-naqi, la ithma fihi, wa la baghya, wa la ghilla, wa la hasada. The Prophet ﷺ says, it's At-taqi, the one who fears Allah, the one who is naqi, pure. How do you purify yourself? By making istighfar, making tawbah, purifying your heart. La ithma fihi, he doesn't have evil intentions. He stays away from sin. La baghya, he doesn't have covetousness. Covetousness is when you have so much greed and so much want for something that you're willing to cross all boundaries. I want this so badly, I'll steal for it, I'll kill for it, I'll do whatever I have to do because I want it so badly. That's baghi, to have such an extreme desire that you'll break all the rules, man-made laws, Allah's laws, I don't care. I'll break all the laws to get what I want. That's baghi. Wala ghil, you shouldn't have hatred in your heart. Wala hasad, you shouldn't have jealousy to the point that you wish you could take away somebody's blessing and take it for yourself. So this is the process I'm describing and listing all these diseases of the heart. We need to pay attention to these diseases, and we should recognize that the list goes on. Maybe the Prophet ﷺ was listing these ones, and wallahu a'lam, this is my own personal view, but maybe the idea is to keep listing and to keep saying, and keep thinking about these different diseases of the heart. So let's list a few. Bukhul, stinginess. Ghafla, heedlessness. Hasad, we mentioned that, jealousy. Kibr, arrogance. Riya, showing off. Dhan, evil suspicion about people. Huzn, being hopeless in Allah's mercy and having this depression that Allah is never going to help you. Nifaq, hypocrisy, saying one thing and doing the other. Bughd, hatred and anger. Ujub, narcissism, having this inflated view of yourself. Hubb al-riyasa, loving leadership, loving to be in charge. Al-ama, being blind to the truth. Qaswatul qalb, having a hard heart so that Allah's remembrance doesn't penetrate. Gharur or ghurur, self-delusion. And at-taqallub, being fluctuating, always jumping from one feeling to the next, never having any consistency. And so on. This is not a comprehensive list. But we could keep on going and going. We need to pay attention. We need to learn, what are the diseases of the heart? When do I feel one or the other? How can I stay away from it? How can I cleanse myself? This is important. Number 9, take comfort in worship. The Prophet ﷺ, when he asked Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu to give the iqamah, he said what? Arihna biha ya Bilal. Or he said, aqim as-salah, arihna biha. As in, start the prayer, arihna biha, give us that comfort. Arihna is a verb which comes from what? Ruh, which means spirit, the spirit. Rauh, which means mercy or relief. And Rih, which means mercy, which means a wind. So all of this, when you combine it, the Prophet's words are so brief, and yet they have so much meaning. And what it implies is, oh Bilal, start the salah, and through that, give us a spiritual relief and spiritual mercy that feels like a wind in the heart. It feels like a spiritual, like a beautiful wind that gives us a calm. That is how the Prophet describes salah. So if you want to be a spiritual person, you should not be the type who says, oh man, I have to pray again, seriously, okay, fine, and you make wudu, you splash the water, and you're feeling this sense of a rebellion. Rather, you should feel like this is a mercy. So many people go through their lives and never make one sajda, Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the shame of never once submitting yourself and acknowledging your blessings and being grateful to Allah? Never once in your life. You should be grateful every single time Allah gives you the opportunity to recognize that He is greater than everything, Allahu Akbar. And then to pray to Him, recite His Qur'an, and make sajda and bow to Him. SubhanAllah, we need to be grateful. And the 10th and final point in terms of this list, and by the way, this is not a comprehensive list, but this is just a beneficial list, inshallah ta'ala. We need to look after those who are in need. Look after those who are in need. أَنَّ رَجُلًا شَكَى إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ and complained, قَسْوَةَ قَلْبِهِ. Complained about the hardness of his heart. قال, the Prophet ﷺ responded, إِنْ أَرَدْتَ أَنْ يَلِينَ قَلْبُكَ فَأَطْعِمِ الْمِسْكِينَ وَامْسَحْ بِرَأْسِ الْيَتِيمِ. The Prophet ﷺ responded, if you want to soften your heart, then feed the needy and pat your head on top of the pat your hand on top of the head of the orphan. SubhanAllah, this is a beautiful hadith. What is it saying? That yes, it's good if you write a check and give charity to those who are in need, whether it be poor people, whether it be the orphan. But even better than that, if you truly want not just the ajr, but on top of that, the spiritual transformative effect, if you really want to feel it, then you got to get to know them. Invite them to your home, feed them, talk to them. Someone who is in need, someone who is in a less financially sound position than you are. And also get to know the orphan to the point that you can shake their hand, that you can give them a hug, and that you can even pat their head and show them that affection. Why? Because they're not receiving it from their parents. May Allah forgive us for not taking care of the orphans. Ameen. And inshallah ta'ala, I'd like to finish with two quick points. Many times when this topic of tazkiyatun nafs and purification of the heart comes up, many people ask the question, or many people make the statement, no one can judge me because spirituality is in my heart. Is this a true statement or a false statement? Well, it's both true and false. It is true that Allah is the ultimate judge. And it is true that the Prophet ﷺ said, "At-taqwa ha-huna," that taqwa is in the heart. And I am not able to look at someone and say, it looks like you're at about 70% taqwa today. I can't do that. However, at the same time, this concept that taqwa is detached from your actions is nonsense. We as human beings are not supposed to be engaged in judging everybody. I'm not supposed to be looking at this crowd saying, how can I judge everybody's taqwa level? That's nonsense. But at the same time, you can't go through to the other extreme and pretend you never judge anybody. That's also nonsense. Why? Because you have to choose who you make friends with. You have to choose who you do business with. You have to choose who you want to marry or who you will recommend for marriage. And all of this requires judgment. So those who say, no, I avoid judgment, nonsense. You have to make judgments in life. Come on, be serious. But at the same time, you're not trying to judge everybody and everybody. That's also another extreme. So ultimately, Allah is the judge. But at the same time, let's give an analogy. If somebody were to lift up and show a seed and say, what does this produce? I would say, I honestly don't know. But if you plant that seed, and if you let it grow, then I can see the fruits, obviously, right? So in that same way, I can't judge somebody's taqwa, but I can pay attention to their actions. And yes, there is a correlation between what's in the heart and what comes out on the actions. As the Prophet ﷺ said, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. The Prophet ﷺ says, beware, there is a piece of flesh that is in the body. If it is good, then the entire body is good. And if it is corrupt, then the entire body is corrupt. What does that mean? That means if you have taqwa in your heart, if you have spiritually sound in your heart, then what? Then naturally, of course, your deeds will manifest that. Your body will manifest that, your tone, the words you choose, the friends you keep, the habits you have, that will manifest. And if you have a corrupt heart, that will manifest. So don't think that they are detached. There's nobody who can claim, oh, I'm pure on the inside and corrupt on the outside. This is nonsense. So may Allah SWT make us of those who have a clean heart. May Allah SWT give us tazkiyatun nafs. May Allah forgive us of our shortcomings. May Allah connect us to the Quran and give us good company and have us eat good food and keep our eyes.